let's pray. God, again, we thank you for this morning. And thank you for grace. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for salvation. And thank you that in saving us individually, you brought us into a family. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for the church. Thank you for the local church. Thank you that we can come together and worship you and be encouraged together and be inspired together and be convicted together and lift up the praises for our Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit together. Don't know how we do it without you. Don't know how we do it without the church. God, would you speak to us in your word today? Would you take the things that are in this passage that really has to do with the church and your equipping of the church and your establishing of the church and your anointing of the church and all that you desire for us in the church? Oh God, that we would receive it and that we would grow. That we would grow. That wherever we're at, we would grow from where we're at. We wouldn't stay as we are, but we would press on. That we would move forward and not backward. And that we would progress and not regress. Help us not to be satisfied or settled with where we're at. But to know that there is more. There's more of you. There's more that you have for us to do. There's more that you want to do in and through the body of Christ. And so just use these words, oh God, to inspire us. To think about what it means for me to be in the church, to be a part of the body. And am I doing my part? Am I doing my fair share, so to speak? How am I encouraging the body? How am I edifying the body? Oh God, do that work in us. And that we would be pointing people not to us, not to this church, but we'd be pointing people to Jesus Christ. We want you to be glorified, O Lord. We want you to be magnified. We want to make Jesus known. And one of the main ways that we make Jesus known is that we grow up in the faith. And so may that be so. Use this day. Use this time. Cause your word to have its word through your Holy Spirit. And if there's someone here that doesn't know you, O God, help them to see that they're in need for a Savior. And that you have made provision to deal with our sin. And we can be forgiven. And we can be given a new heart, be made new. And walk in newness of life. And be a part of your body. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're in chapter 4 of Ephesians. And we're kind of covered through verse 10. We're going to go back a little bit. Touch on verse 7 and 8 a little bit, and then come back down to verse 11. And look at 11 through 16, Lord willing. I love this passage of Scripture. I mean, I love all of Ephesians. But this is something, this particular passage is so dear to my heart. It's about the church. And I love the church. I'm so thankful that God called me to be a pastor. Doesn't mean that it's always been easy. It doesn't mean it's always been a burden. I know that Jesus says his burden is light. Doesn't always feel light, but it is light when it's he and I carrying it, not just me. God is so good, and I'm so thankful that he's called me to this. And I love his people, and I love this congregation. And I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I just have that inside perspective to see how God is working in people's lives and even the past month just to walk with people in their faith depending on where they're at and it's just the whole gamut, people everywhere in all kinds of spots and all kinds of places, and I just love seeing Jesus work in your lives. And so I love this passage of Scripture. In fact, as I was working on it this week, so much of it is really self-explanatory. And so while I have notes, but so much of it is just kind of, I could go without notes and just talk about this passage because this is so important, so essential. The context for verses 11 to 16 kind of requires us a little bit to go back in verse 8 and 9. And so there is this, as we think about the church, again, all of Ephesians really is about the body of Christ and what he has done for it. And we're in the practical section of Ephesians. If you split it down the middle, the first three chapters are theological primarily, the last three are practical, or in other words, working out the doctrine, the truth. So verses 11 to 16, as he's talking about the church, he's talking about what he has provided for the church to be the church. The picture here that we need to have is the picture of Jesus as the victor. The picture of Jesus triumphant. Jesus the conqueror. And that's what we see back in verse 7 and 8. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And so the context of the gifts that or his provisions for the church are in the context of being a victor. And so as a result of his having descended in humiliation and having ascended into exaltation and triumph over sin, Satan, death, and hell, again, as a result of his ascending is the birth of the church. The body of Christ has been born. And so there's this sense, as we look at the next few verses, there's this sense that there he is, the victor. He's a new daddy. He's a proud papa. And there he is holding his newborn baby, the church. And it's like he thinks, as every proud papa thinks, what do I need to do to help him grow and to help him be healthy? And you're thinking about the life of this little one in your arms. You're thinking about the moment, but you're thinking beyond the moment. You're thinking about how will this one, this little one, this precious child, develop and grow. What do I need to do? Because all of a sudden it comes back. Like, what do I need to do as a father to help this infant grow into maturity? And so there is the victor. There is Jesus Christ. He's looking at the body of Christ. What do I need to do? What must be done? What does this child need to grow? To not remain an infant. To not remain a child, but to go from a child to adulthood. And so, the following verses really address that. But verse 7 gives us an insight first. He says, but again, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And so, we talked last week, because Christ is triumphant, he has gifts to give. He has overcome. Again, if you're a captor, if you're the one who is triumphant, the conqueror, then you have conquered something and you can share the plunder. And so there's this sense in which Jesus, having conquered sin, Satan, death, and hell, he has plunder to share as a result of his victory. Now, when it speaks of the measure of Christ's gift, the gift isn't just referring to salvation. Back in chapter 2, verse 8, it talks about the gift, and it really refers to salvation. Now, what he's saying here is that each member of the family has received a gift. It's a gift of grace. It's whatever we have received from Jesus Christ, and all of us, in the body of Christ, have received something from Jesus. We would call it a gift. It would be based on grace. What does it speak to? It speaks specifically to a place. In other words, we all have a place in his body. We'll have an office or a position or in other words, something that he has given it. We've been placed specifically somewhere for a specific purpose in the body of Christ. So in other words, he doesn't just save us and then says, oh, well, now go wing it. No, he saves us and he puts us somewhere for a particular function. And this is all about that idea of function. And so verse 11, let's see where we're at here. Oh, there we are. And so, again, he's answering his own question. What must I do to help this young baby grow? It says that he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the, what's the word? Say it like you mean it. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Let's stop there for a moment. So, in order for each of us to fulfill our function, wherever he has placed us in the body of Christ, in order for us to function in that place, as members of the body of Christ, the Lord has appointed some special callings. That's what it's saying. So there's a special calling that he, or appointment that he has given to some people in his body. That's the way it says he has given some to be apostles. And then I believe that this refers primarily to the disciples who became apostles, Paul being one of them, those that walked with Jesus. And we see another place where Jesus says, or where Paul writes about the church being built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. He's referring to Peter and John, and of course Paul. And so he's given apostles who became the foundation upon which the church is built. Go back to chapter 2, verse 20. Goes on and says he gave some to be prophets. In other words, those who receive or have received a divine revelation or insight from the Lord and be given the ability to communicate that revelation to the church. I don't believe it just is limited to the Old Testament prophets. I believe that God has anointed those in a church who can speak forth the word of God in a way that has a special anointing upon it. And then it says, and by the way, Stephen would be like that. If you go back to Acts chapter 7, Stephen was an anointed prophet, if you will, because he spoke and he took the word of God and he spoke it with powerful utterance to the people of his day. But he was also an evangelist. Some evangelists. And those who are God is divinely equipped to preach the good news to the lost. And then some pastors and teachers, those whom God has especially called to shepherd his flock. Right, it makes me think of and maybe for you as well, you think of some of the mentors that God has raised up in your life. When I think of, I wouldn't be where I'm at today if it weren't for a handful of people that God had sent my way. I think of my youth pastor and how he had Bob Schumann, and some of you maybe remember he visited here a few years ago, and he became a spiritual father figure in my life, kind of going through challenges in my family, and he became that spiritual mentor, that pastor, if you will, who shepherded me, and even took me into his home. And I was kind of displaced. And he became, again, that spiritual father. Think of my pastor, Pastor Brad Bruner. And, you know, when I was in the process of becoming the pastor of his church, You know, we had we were involved in establishing a street church in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. He was the pastor, and I was just kind of we were helping out, and just felt called to be there. It was one of those things where, you know, when it was time for us to move and God called us out here, I remember to this day sitting down with him. It was the last time I'd be in that church before we move, and it was just he and I, and we spent some time talking and praying together. It was in that moment we didn't even realize what we had, or that what God had developed, that he really became that mentor to me. And we'd have this bond, this like a Paul-Timothy bond. And all of a sudden, we were grieving because we were parting ways for a time. But when I told him what was going on here, the little church that we had, about 30 people, and they were praying about the pastoral situation of the church, and they eventually unanimously asked me to at least fill the pulpit for a time, 20 years plus later. It wasn't so temporary. I guess you just can't get rid of me. But anyway, he said something so encouraging to me when I was talking to him on the phone. I remember exactly where I was. I was in Elaine's basement. There was a phone down there, and I was just telling him. It's one that had the cord. Remember those phones? You had the cord. And I'd pace, and the cord would get all tangled up. You know, those cords are terrible for pacers like me. But I remember him saying, and it was such an encouragement when I told him that, yeah, they've asked me to preach. And he said, I could have told them that. I could have told them that. I knew that God had called you there. I knew that that's what God was going to do. What encouragement that was. What a blessing he was. And some of these are just short moments of time. It's a few years here, a few years there. Dave Hellyer walking up to me. I was the interim pastor at the time. My paycheck, because the church was so small they couldn't afford a pastor, the paycheck was from the academy downstairs. And so that's where I was the principal of the school. So I became the pastor and the principal at the same time. And so I was downstairs. I remember Dave coming up. He just kind of showed up. He was over here one time, and then he left, and then he came back and surprised me downstairs. And he said, God called me to support you and do anything that you ask me to do. What do you do with that? I'm just blown away. So God has so faithfully raised up men and women in my life to help shepherd me and encourage me into the will and call of God. I wouldn't be here without the body of Christ. I wouldn't be here without those anointed ambassadors, anointed mentors of Jesus Christ. Listen, you have no idea. I think we have no idea the impact that God will make through us. I don't think we'll know a lot of what we've done until time's done here for you and I, when we finish our race. Amen. But I think so much of this is those relationships. Why do we miss Velma when she's in glory? Why do we miss her? Because God placed her in our lives, and she was an anointed ambassador of Jesus Christ, and she blessed us. She blessed us. They've departed loved ones. They blessed us in the body of Christ. Praise God. But I think this is important. Why has Christ given such special offices to the church? Who's supposed to do the ministry? Did you catch this? Well, the pastor and the elder are supposed to do the ministry. Come on, let's get to work. No, God has, Jesus, the head of the church, looks at the body of Christ. He looks at that babe and says, what do they need? They need special teachers, special pastors, special prophets, special people that God, in order for what? So that the body will do the work of the ministry. Do you notice that there is no member in the body of Christ that has been called and anointed to sit on their hands? Not one.
There is no, listen, I know
we come to this type of fellowship, we come here on Sunday or whatever, and we walk through the doors, and sometimes we're licking our wounds.
And we come, and we're coming for encouragement, we're coming for that, and that's important. That's one of the reasons why. We bless one another, we encourage one another. There should be an uplift as a result of being with God's people. But you know the other side of that? The mindset should be, Lord, who am I supposed to bless today? Who am I supposed to encourage? Who am I supposed to reach out to? Right?
The word equip in the Greek, it means to completely furnish.
It means to mature. Or to build up. I like that idea, completely furnish. A few weeks ago, looking forward to my daughter coming home for fall break, by the way. But when we got her set up and she was in a new room, and we drove two vehicles down to Whitworth, and we, you know, bringing her stuff down, we get into the room and we do all this rearranging. I mean, you got to raise the beds up. You know, like, I don't know. There's these beds, and there's different places that you could put the raise the bed part. In the frame, you can raise the bed up, and then you've got to take, this is always fun, then, because the bed's like heavy, right? I mean, we're talking like hardwood and metal frame, and it's just this heavy beast, and then you've got to take these risers, and you've got to set them under the legs. And so if you could imagine, there's Angie and I, and Olivia, and the boys, well, now the boys weren't there for us, thanks a lot, guys, you weren't even there for us. And so we got to raise up, and you know, you got one person saying, I'm going to slide it under there real quick, the riser under there real quick, you guys raise the bed up, and you're having to do this for each leg. And so you're raising the bed up, and then you got to put the fridge under there, you got to put all these other things under there, the fridge actually is somewhere else. Anyway, then they've got these big pieces of furniture that you put all your clothes in, these wardrobes, and you... It's like, nah, they've got to be moved somewhere else. And this is, notice what's happening. This isn't just dropping your daughter off. This isn't just dropping her stuff off. That's kind of, you know, anybody like moving? You know, when somebody calls and they need help moving, is that you on the list? Who likes to be first on the list? I've got a few guys in this room that I'm calling if I need to move. Chris Clark is one of them. Because I know that you don't like it. I just enjoy the misery of the life.
Moving a piano. And we've done a few of those.
No, you don't just drop the stuff off for your daughter. What are we doing? We're helping rearrange, and we move the big wardrobe over here and the other one over there. And we're so nice that we raised her roommate's bed up and rearranged and moved her stuff around. So we're just like, there's a couple of jewels in the crown for those type of experiences, right? We did all right. After that, by the way, I have forgotten how to raise beds. So don't ask. Totally forgot how to do that. But what are we doing as her parents? We're helping rearrange the furniture and completely furnish the room. For who? For us?
No, because mom and dad are leaving. We help arrange it. We help completely furnish it. But she's got to live in it. She's got to live in it. You see what God's anointed ministers are to do in the church? They're called... to help you, help the body of Christ, completely furnish, and then they leave and you live in the room.
Do you hear the calling of God from Paul here? You and I are called to the ministry. You are called, the body of Christ is called to do the work of the ministry. Every Christian is a servant. Every Christian is a missionary. Get this. Every Christian is a full-time Christian worker. Do you know that? Every single Christian is called to work for Jesus full-time. Say amen or amen.
Amen.
Amen. Every single one has a place in the body of Christ. Every Christian is to be an encourager. Every Christian is to be an encourager. You got a critique to give to somebody? It better have an encouragement along with it. Oh, yes, the critiques have to come. But make make sure there's some encouragement in there too. We're called to be encouragers and edifiers of the body of Christ. That's what it says here.
So we are all, the church, the body of Christ. God wants the body, is calling the body to minister. So know what, at least as you leave today, as we leave today, good prayer is, good question to ask God is, God, where am I supposed to serve? How am I supposed to serve you? What are you calling me to? Because you have a place with your name on it. But he goes on. Let's see. Verse 13. So, the ascended, exalted Christ has given the gifts of grace and anointed instructors so that we would grow up. Say, grow up.
Grow up.
Say that to you. Look in the mirror in your mind and say, grow up.
Grow up.
All right. We are called to grow up. Here's verse 13 and all, and following. Till we all, so here it is. We are to, he's given the church these anointed apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What's the end game here? What's the goal? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's go to the next verse. We'll keep reading it through here. That we should no longer be children. You see what's happening here? The children are supposed to become adults. That's what he's saying here. So that we would no longer be children. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. By the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking in the truth in love. May what? Say it like you mean it. May grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. We'll go to the last verse because we're just going to read all these. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causeth growth in the body for the edifying of itself in love. So, what is the apostle making extremely clear here? What does he want for us? What does Christ want for you in the body of Christ? What does he want for the body of Christ? He wants us to grow up. That we're perfect. Perfect man. It means complete, finished, but the idea is maturity. Mature stature, that word stature means maturity. So he wants us, when we think of perfect, we're thinking about maturity. You know, the kids are really cute when they're those little toddlers. We never had terrible two toddlers. They were, except Joseph. Where's Joseph at? Was Joseph, yeah, Joseph was the one that kind of cried in the car seat all the time. Any of you had those? Car seat was like the enemy. Outside of that, again, they're cute. I mean, they're getting into stuff. And you can play cute little games. I used to wrestle with them. Can't wrestle with them anymore. Joseph is taller than me now. I know it doesn't take much, but my son is taller than me. I never had it in my mind that I would be looking up at my son. He thinks it's funny that he can look down on his sister now. And that's all, you know, the kids and the things they do and the drawings and the stick figures and the sun and, you know, the traditional sun in the corner and maybe a mountain or a house and a bunch of stick figure family members. Those are cute. Now, if my 16-year-old son is still drawing stick figures, kind of a son with can't stay in the lines with the crayon, he's still drawing stick figures as his family, there's maybe an issue.
Actually, he probably does still feel stuck.
We are not to remain as infants. We're not to remain as children. Every single one of us is to grow up in the faith.
We are to grow up in the body of Christ. I love this because this is like, this is why, again, the local church, praise God that we can do live streaming. But the local church, the assembling together of the saints, is how we grow up in the church, in our faith. It's not about growing individually, it's growing together. Amen? And there's something about the ministry, the work of God, that God has called each of us to do, that is a part of our growing. You know what I'm saying? When you serve, you grow. When you function where you're supposed to be in the body of Christ, you grow. You grow and you function better. And you function better, you grow. You see what happens? And it's not just, well, again, we think about our individual faith, we think about our individual spirituality, and we have a responsibility individually to grow. We have a responsibility also to help others grow. You see, it's not just about my faith, my personal experience with God. My faith is to contribute to your faith. My walk with God is to contribute to your walk with God. We're to do it together. I was thinking of, been in contact with Jimmy a lot lately, and there was a season when we were connecting, and there have been times when I went to the athletic club and worked out on my own, right? Maybe some of us know and have made attempts to work out with ourselves, right? And you go through maybe your own regimen of your own personal workout. Maybe that works for you. But I got to tell you, when I worked out with Jimmy, boy, he made working out so much harder. You know, he made it so much harder. But it was so much more effective and so much more encouraging. Because there he was, rooting me on. Encourage me, you know, do another one, do another one. I mean, you know, he come up with all these different ways of, I mean, I only know a few. I mean, kind of lift a weight like that and kind of run in place, and that's about it, you know. But he had all these different ways of developing the body and making the body stronger. And so he brought his giftings to me and his encouragement to me, and he inspired me to work harder. You see what's happening there? And you see the picture is we're to work out together. You and I are to work it out together. In fact, when you grow up, so do I. And when I grow, know what happens? So do you. Our growing is together. We are growing together in the faith. Over and over again, it's God thinking about the whole body of Christ and how we are a part of each other's lives, and we are one together. And I did that with Jimmy until I decided to stop doing it. No. Life happened, as it does. The body grows when every part, you see it here, it's in the scripture, when every part does its share. Every part does its share. We know, in our families, we understand that. Everybody has a part in the home. And sometimes, one kid will say, hey! Elijah might say of Joseph, well, what is he doing? Is he contributing? Is he cleaning up too? Does everybody have parts? We're all called to do our share. Praise God. that, that you don't have to sit there for very long before the Holy Spirit says, hey, go after that.
Hey, do this. It doesn't have to have a some sort of title. Not at all. Sometimes it does. But it doesn't have to. We just have to be faithful. Amen? We just be faithful with the lead, to the leading
and the impressing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, go to that one. And you go to that one. And what do? You share the gospel. Or you encourage them. Or you pray for them. That's the work of the ministry.
The work of the ministry is telling people about Jesus. To those that don't know Jesus, we're going to introduce them to Jesus. To those that do know Jesus, we're going to remind them of Jesus. Amen?
We all have a part.
But there is a truth, and I think you understand this. We must grow in maturity so that we will no longer be children tossed to and fro. Right? There's that picture of being on the waves. And just being on a picture of like a boat out there, and you're just being tossed around. The boat's getting hit this way and that way. But if you've set your anchor down, then the waves can move the boat, but it's not going to move the boat very far because the anchor is taking hold. And so there's this sense in which when we grow up in our faith, there's that picture of the anchor grabbing hold, keeping you from getting battered around all over the water. Oh, you'll get battered around a little bit, but you'll be steady. Too many Christians are being tossed to and fro by circumstances, by politics, by fear, by anything that comes down the pike, and we're just up and we're down, and we're up and we're down, and we're up and we're down. And that's Christ never intended that for his church, never be tossed to and fro and get battered around by this and that.
He has called us to grow in our faith
together. I was hiking yesterday behind the house, and you know the colors are so vibrant right now,
aren't they just beautiful?
And it's like I'm just trying to, with all the busyness and everything going on, it's just like I need those moments where you just kind of stop and just kind of shut up so that you can grow up and just take it in. And it was interesting. I'm standing there, and if you've been up to our place, it's just a lot of rock everywhere. And so a lot of cliffs and big boulders and everything. And I'm standing on just this, it's solid rock. And I'm kind of amazed because there's these two little trees, and they were probably there before. I just didn't notice them until now because they've got yellow leaves on them. So I really they drew my attention. I would normally ignore them, but the yellow just popped as I'm looking at the valley. And these little trees are sitting there, and you know where they're growing out of? They're growing out of a rock. They're growing out of a rock. This rock there, and there's these trees growing up out of it, and they're beautiful. Crazy. And the rocks of circumstance cannot destroy those trees that are planted in the Lord. And God ensures the growth of those who are planted, whose roots run deep and cling to the Word of God and cling to Christ. And yes, your circumstances can be hard. And yes, loss is heartbreaking. But where are your roots?
Yeah, we might look at your life and see it's just solid rock everything, just hardship.
But there you are, growing out of the rock, and your leaves are beautiful. And you're thriving. And you're not despairing. You're growing. And guess what? You're going to weather the winter. You may lose all your leaves, but you're going to weather the winter and the leaves will come back because your roots have found the living rock. You're growing and you're maturing. And the wind cannot blow you down. Grow up so that we will not be tossed to and fro by all the challenges of life or the devil, temptation, and all that. I think you know this to be true. We are either progressive or we're regressing. We're either moving forward or going backward. We're on the incline or we're declining. You understand that there is no plateauing in the Christian life. There's no leveling out. We're always on the move, one way or another. In fact, the writer of Hebrews addresses this problem of believers that have stopped growing. And this is Hebrews chapter 5. It says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Isn't that basically saying exactly what we have here in chapter 4 of Ephesians? He's saying that those who are of full age, those who have matured, those who are maturing, those who are growing, will be able to discern between good and evil. Will not be tossed to and fro. But notice what he's saying. He's saying, listen, some of you guys should be teachers by now. You're still needing milk, but you should be chewing on me. I don't know about you. I'm kind of a meat eater. I mean, I'm thankful that God made animals out of meat. Right? We had some venison this week. The ribs were absolutely delicious. We ground up a venison burger and mixed it with bacon. A couple of animals that have a lot of meat on them and they love to eat together. I mean, really, bacon goes good with anything, right? Have you thought of putting bacon on that? That's a good question. And you say, listen, why do you need to keep being spoon-fed? How long have you been in the faith? How long have you known Christ? How long have you been saved? Listen, there's a rebuke in this. Let it rebuke. Let it rebuke. I know it doesn't feel comfortable. But some of us should be further along than we are. That's the challenge with this passage. You're meant to grow. You still, all this time, you're still struggling with just trying to get the word into your life? What's the problem with that? You can't find time to read God's word? You're too busy or you're just not a reader? Get over it. Get over it. Grow up. Amen? Grow up. You're called to grow up. You and I are called to something bigger than ourselves and our individual lives. We are called to edify the body of Christ. When you grow, I grow. When I grow, you grow. We grow together. You have a part to play. You have a place in the body of Christ, every single one of us that has been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, but someday, maybe. No, now. Now. Because if you're not moving forward, you're going backward. Now. Because if you're not increasing, you're decreasing. Now. Because if you're not progressing, you're regressing. And we cannot have regressive Christians. We're called to be growing in Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Listen, there is a time for baby steps. Right? We get that. There is a time for the baby that is just trying to roll over off of its back onto its front and then just start moving it. M&Ms work really good to get them moving. That's what we learned. And you get after them. Pick up, make sure there's no like dead flies or bugs in the path because they're going to test them too. M&M's, get them.
what a thrill it is to see them get up on their feet
and start holding on to stuff and moving around.
My daughter skipped crawling and went from being on her belly to moving around on her feet. What a joy that is. That's exciting. It's exciting for a parent. You just have this image in your mind. Can you imagine when this little one is going to be moving around? Now I got to look up at him. It's awesome. When children grow and nurture and their nurturing and development and their character, especially if you're raising your kids in the Lord, they start grabbing it and getting a hold of it and owning it. And there's nothing greater for a parent to see our children walking in the truth. Amen? Nothing greater than that.
And we get baby steps. And we're gracious with baby steps.
And there's a place for baby steps, little here, little there.
Some of us, we need to take some strides. We need to start moving. We need to get off of our backs, and we need to get off of our bellies, and we need to quit hanging on. Get moving. Figure it out.
It's time to grow up. Amen? Listen, this church, this world that we live in will not give you time to stay on your back. It will come after you when you are on your back, and it will not let up. And you and I need to be walking and standing and growing and maturing to meet it.
Because it doesn't care if you're a child. It doesn't care. It will not be gracious. It will not be merciful. It will hold no quarter. In fact, if you're on your back, the better for it. Because it might actually leave you alone. Just leave them there. But where are the ones that are walking? Let's take them down. Listen, we live in that world. Do you feel it? That world is coming after you. It's coming after the church of Jesus Christ. We cannot afford to not grow. Some of us have a Bible and it's sitting on a shelf. When was the last time you opened it up? And look, this isn't, it's not just about reading the Bible. It's about engaging with the Holy Spirit. It's about relating with God. Amen? That's what this is about. It's about growing up in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, that Bible's sitting there, and it's God speaking through the Spirit, through the Word of God. Just sitting there, full of power. It's a living Word, full of power. What are you doing? Open it up. Quit doing whatever else you're doing. Get into the Word of God, and then obey. Amen? And then share it. Share it. I was talking to my last conversation with Velma. She's laying in her bed and she says, she asked me to get her Bible, the Amplified Bible. You know when she's read, it's got all these additional words to help expound the meaning. So it's the Amplified Bible, so it's like the verse is like 17 times longer. But she says, I want you to read something out of Matthew 11. So I open it up and find out. She couldn't remember where it was. It had to do with the kingdom of heaven. And so I find the verse. And because she wants to know what I think it means. And I'm going to find it here. Matthew 11. And it's verse 12. And I admit, I've struggled with what this means before as well. I think it can mean one of two things, and I lean toward one of them. It says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now. By the way, this is Jesus speaking. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. So we talked about that passage. And
it could refer to those that are wanting to
literally, violently subdue the kingdom of heaven. Could mean that. There's some context for that. But there's also some context for, and this is where I lean. And this is also where she leaned. And I believe it speaks of those, it's using those who violently take it by force. It's referring to the intense passion of those who are going after the kingdom and want to be in the kingdom. And I believe that that's the case. I believe that there's something about that when we think about the kingdom of God and we proclaim the kingdom of God, that it should solicit such action that we're not just kind of whistling Dixie, walking in. We want to get
into the kingdom of God. We want to be a part of the kingdom of God, passionately so. And Thelma was passionate about the kingdom of God.
Are you? Am I? Are we seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Could we say that our relationship with God could be described as passionate? Are we passionate about Jesus Christ? Are we passionate about His church? Do we love what He loves? He loves the church. He loves the body of Christ. He has given the church everything that we need to grow. He's given you everything that you need to grow so that you can edify and encourage me. And may you. Peter wrote this, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Grow. So what's the objective here? What is the objective? Kind of the why to all of this. Let's go back to verse 13. One more. There you go. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 15 says, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in Him and grow in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Do you see the goal here? It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about being Christ-like. Christ-likeness is the objective. That the church would grow to the height, to the strength, to the maturity of Jesus Christ. That our unity and maturity, that our spiritual growth would match Him. You see what we're called to do? As we edify and encourage one another in unity and love, serving one another, growing in our faith, you know what we're doing? We're making Jesus Christ known. That's the message. Jesus Christ is to be made known as we grow in maturity. Someone had once said, and I've mentioned it many times, you know, when you walk into a house, you may see a pretty painting. If you walked into my office downstairs, there's a picture that Dawn had given me that Dave said I needed to have. Or Dave agreed that this should be going to me, and it's a picture of Jesus Christ. It's the last thing that, before Dave died, that he was staring at. It's a picture of Jesus Christ before he went to see Jesus Christ in person. Now, if you were to walk into my office and you'd see that picture, know what you wouldn't draw attention to, or know what wouldn't draw your attention? And you wouldn't ask about the nail holding it up. You know that? You're not going to be like, can I see that nail? Or it's one of those pins, you know, the pins you stick in the wall. What color is the pin? Green, yellow, clear? No one's thinking about the nail. No one's thinking about the pin in the wall. Now you're caught up in the image on the picture. You know what you and I are called to be? Nails in the wall hanging up a picture of Jesus Christ. And you know when that world sees Jesus, or why they'll see Jesus? They'll see Jesus because you and I are doing our part. Because you and I are growing as one. That you and I are one part feeding the other part, and feeding the other part, and it comes back again. And each part working together as one for the grand purpose of making Jesus Christ known. That's the church. It is showing Jesus. Amen? So God, just help me to be a nail among many nails in the wall. All we're doing together, making Him known. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen? Let's stand. Father, we just thank you.
I want to thank you that when you saved us individually, you saved us into a family, you saved us into the church, the body of Christ, and that you have called each of us. You've called each of us to a particular place in the body that is going to be about encouraging and edifying. Help us to grow. Even as this world seeks to divide us, even as this world comes against the church, and increasingly so, may it meet a church that is growing in maturity, that can stand like that tree growing in the rock, that the wind cannot knock it down, that our roots together will be clinging to you, clinging to the Word of God, growing deep so that we would be mature, again, growing up in the faith. Help us to see that my growing is going to help other people grow. So help us to love one another. Help us to serve each other. And in doing that, help us to make much of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. And that we would eventually grow up to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Thank you, God. And it's only by your grace, oh God, only by your grace that we can do anything at all for you or for one another. But thank you that you've given us that grace.